Welcome back to the Compass live stream. We're streaming a little bit earlier than usual today, but that's because we have two amazing guests and we're excited to jumpstart this conversation. You're watching the best and coincidentally the only live stream dedicated to proof of work mining. Glad to have you watching with us on Friday. And as always, shout out to my co-host Will for coming back for yet another live stream. Will, always glad to have you hosting with me. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, for sure. Really excited for this conversation. We got David and Wolfie. Really excited to have you guys on.
Yeah, a couple of good friends. And actually, coincidentally, all of us were colleagues at one brief point in all of our crypto careers, which makes this conversation super fun. Wolfie, David, thank you all for coming on the show. Most of our audience are miners and most of our miners read the news. And so I'm sure all of our audience is familiar with both of you all as easily the leading mining journalists in our industry and elsewhere. But would you mind giving us just a brief introduction of yourselves, sort of a little bit of your professional background, where you came from, and sort of how you got into mining specifically? Wolfie, I'll pass it first to you, and then David, definitely want to hear from you also.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I started the career with Coindesk when I joined in 2017, and then came back to China around 2018, covering pretty much everything related to crypto at the time. And then I started covering more about the mining sector after BMF filed their IPO in Hong Kong. That was like summer 2018. And then there was, of course, the big crash at the end of 2018, and a lot of miners were dumping the equipment on the market. There was pretty serious dump on the market back then. So I started covering that. And then there was a pretty interesting rebound since early 2019. And since then, I've been covering a lot about the mining sector, tracking down, you know, what's the latest trend and what's with the manufacturers, and also the mining scene and when it was pretty much centralized in China, and then up to 2020, 2021, now we're having this migration towards, you know, pretty much regions outside of China. So it has been a lot of fun. I think every year mining sector has been changing so rapidly. So a lot of stories happened over the past 3 years. So yeah, excited to be here today.
Yeah, mining kind of has this pace where there are like reasonably long periods of time where nothing sort of happens, and then like a ton of things happen all at once over a very short period of time, and everything just goes crazy. David, could you intro yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into mining too?
Yeah, sure. So I started working at CoinDesk in September 2019. So which is like 3 years later than Wolfie. So I didn't actually write about, you know, anything about Bitcoin mining before 2019. And initially when I started working at CoinDesk, I didn't cover mining as either. I was a news reporter. I was covering everything related to crypto and blockchain. And I started covering mining, I think, starting from this year, you know, like the beginning of the migration. It has become like one of the biggest stories in crypto industry for the year. So I gradually switched my beat from more like a regulatory, you know, like a regulation oriented beat towards mining. So probably starting in May or June, so which was a very exciting time. I mean, for journalists, not for like Chinese miners. So, so that's basically, you know, how I, you know, got into Bitcoin mining and how I started covering that, like pretty recently. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I like dovetailing kind of off of that, like sort of Dave, what you touched on. There are so many different things to write about in crypto, and like the industry itself has like basically doubled in size and complexity over the last like year alone, with everything that's being built out. Before we get into some more specifics about like what makes mining reporting and journalism maybe uniquely complicated and hard for other people to understand, I'm kind of curious to know, like, out of everything you could be writing on, like, why do both of you focus on mining? Like, was it just like a choice that you made through sort of happenstance, or was there something uniquely compelling about mining that drew you to focus on this sector in the industry above everything else? David, back to you, and then Wolfie, I definitely want to know why also.
Yeah. So I think mining, one of the reasons, I mean, like, it's just for practical reason, for like a very practical reason, which is like, you need to be bilingual in English and Chinese in order to cover mining, especially in the past years. But nowadays, like, it's gravitating towards more like North America and the rest of the world. But before, China was definitely, no doubt, like the biggest crypto mining hub in the world. So in order to write stories about Bitcoin mining, you need to talk to miners who are based in China, and you need to, for example, in the case of the, you know, China crackdown, and then like you need to be able to read original Chinese documents instead of, you know, hearing rumors or like things from like miners. So you need some language skill to cover that beat, especially in the past. And secondly, I think that was the reason, like, that was like a, what kind of like made me do it, like, because like at CoinDesk we do have other Chinese speakers, but like at the time I was available to cover that beat, so that's how I was assigned to that beat. But later on, I kind of like grew on that beat, because like I do feel like that's a very fascinating industry to cover, and it's a niche industry, but like it involves so many other things, like, you know, chip making from the upstream supply chain to how the profitability game that the miners have, like, you know, how to calculate the daily profitability and then how to actually make money out of it. And now we are seeing new players, like, you know, power producers and like people who are in real estate, and all of these new players are coming in. So like we're seeing an increasingly interesting dynamic. So that's why, you know, I mean, first I was assigned to this beat, and later I kind of like grew more interested in covering the stories. So that's basically how I got into this. Yeah.
Mining can, I guess, kind of seem like a little bit boring and dry, but it definitely has the ability to grow on you over time, the more time you spend paying attention to it. Wolfie, same question to you. Like, was there something uniquely compelling about mining that drew you to like start reporting on it initially? Or how'd you find yourself writing about mining?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of things. I guess it was part of the flow. Back in 2018, I think, even if I remember correctly, back then I don't even see a lot of like crypto media covering a lot about the mining space, not even paying attention to the hash rate. Probably because for the most of the time it was going up, up until like probably the end of 2018, and then that was the point where, you know, it got to the point that some of the models, or the majority of the models, won't be profitable at the time. So then definitely there was a big market to cover that. So I started doing that. And then I gradually realized, you know, like mining is pretty fundamental to the whole ecosystem. And it doesn't get, and I think still these days, it doesn't get the amount of attention proportionate to the importance of this ecosystem. I think now we got more attention into this space, but back then I think not a lot of coverage, not a lot of, you know, attention to what is happening with the manufacturers, what is happening with the Chinese miners, what are they doing, what are they thinking, what is their different strategy every year. So that was interesting. And another point is, I think, like, mining is probably among all the different sectors of the whole crypto economy, it is the one that's closest to the real economy, where it intersects with a lot of things, supply chain, you know, energy, regulators, you know, and land, you know, a lot of things you need to deal with. So you're not only just a crypto like native guy, you also need to deal with a lot of things that you would encounter in real life. And it's fascinating because of that nature, a lot of the people who are drawn into this industry, they're from all walks of life, especially in China. They may not be, you know, kind of, I guess like Silicon Valley kind of elite, where you go to, you know, go to computer science degrees and, you know, to kind of develop a project. Like a lot of miners from China, they have different grassroots backgrounds, and these people are fascinating due to their own characteristics. And yeah, I was drawn to this dynamics. And yeah, basically that's how I started to grow more interest and start talking to different people. And I remember the first like mining conference I attended to was like February 2019 in Chengdu. It was probably at the bottom of the last bear market, whereas miners were huddling together, you know, trying to stay strong to weather through the winter. And people were stacking a lot of S9s, and they're talking about all the like techy nerdy stuff about, you know, how S9 is like a machine, the king of the machine, and all of the equipment and all these things. And yeah, it's just a lot of fascinating histories. And about the people who drove into ASICs design and vanished, you know, stories about FreeCAD and Bitmain and MicroBT, these are all very interesting personalities. And yeah, it's just become my interest.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get more into that as we go along through the chat. I do want to ask, just as a former reporter though, like your comfort level with reporting on Bitcoin mining. You know, there's a huge learning curve of learning about Bitcoin, and then there's Bitcoin mining, and then there's reporting on it to the general audience, and all those things are just like steps up the tier and become really tough. And like every journalist has like their story of messing up a story or a source getting mad at them for messing something up in a story. So Wolfie, I want to throw it back to you, and then David, wrap back later after Wolfie goes. Just talking about like the learning curve of reporting on Bitcoin mining journalism. How long did it take to become kind of comfortable with your beat?
That's a good question. I think it's hard to start at the beginning because you don't know where to look for. Like there are informations every bit of the internet. You need to pretty much Google everything. And even if you Google it, sometimes there are mistakes that you will only know when you make it and somebody tell you that was a mistake. And I think that took a while, probably half a year, to like really gradually understand, you know, kind of the surface of it. And then talking to a lot more people, and then you realize, you know, what is a wafer? What is the relationship between Bitmain and TSMC? I mean, it wasn't something that I figured out at the first day. So I think generally it took months to really get into it. And I think gradually adding more of the knowledge when you cover more and make more mistakes and then learn from that. Fortunately, I didn't make like too big of a mistake. But yeah.
David, same question over to you. What has been the learning curve been like for you over the last year or two as you've kind of stepped into the Bitcoin mining ecosystem?
Yeah, I think I'm still learning like ferociously. You know, I'm still like in the middle of the steep learning curve. So like, but I think like one of the things I think for me that helped me learn a little bit quicker, that'll be just like talking to the miners, because like when you rate things, like, I mean, you can understand those things, but like they're because the lack of context, and you don't actually understand it, how it works in the entire, you know, bigger picture. But like when you talk to miners and the way they tell you about the information that you have read about before, and then all of a sudden you have a better understanding, and then it's easier for you to comprehend different concepts and notions in Bitcoin mining. I think one of the best ways to learn is just talk to people who really know what they're talking about in Bitcoin mining. I think another challenge, I mean, for me, at least for me, it will be like, you know, like when you write a piece about Bitcoin mining, because it is so like complex, like it, and then you need to explain it. It's almost like you need to explain every single thing. Like you need to insert kind of like a basic introduction of a concept or an idea, like in your article. And I think it's just like you need to, when you write a Bitcoin mining piece, and then it's a balance of like catering to a more mainstream audience and making sure that you don't look stupid in front of like, you know, professionals in Bitcoin mining. So I think that that's always a struggle for me when I write about Bitcoin mining. Yeah,
I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's like there are obviously, well, there's two sides to like every story in terms of who you're writing from and for. Like you have to take and digest all this information from who you're writing about and make sure it's obviously understandable by the audience you're writing for. And I think like one part of that is especially hard with mining because, well, this is kind of what I want to know, ask you about, but I know like sort of in my limited experience, a lot of the mining community doesn't really care to like explain what they're working on, what they're seeing, what they're building to anyone, let alone if like a journalist comes and asks them for an interview or a couple simple questions. Like, can both of you like explain maybe your reception from companies in the mining ecosystem in terms of you seeking out stories and leads and sources, and maybe how you've seen that reception change from 2016, 2017, 2018 until now, as like so many things in mining itself have shifted, maybe like the mining community's disposition towards journalists has also shifted, or maybe not, I'm not sure. But can you explain sort of the interactions you've had with mining, the mining community, and maybe how that's changed? David, I'll pass it to you, and then Wolfie also.
Mm-hmm. I think I totally agree with Zach in terms of like people in the Bitcoin mining industry, they really don't care if, you know, they get more media attention or like they get more exposure about their business. I mean, like it's more like the other way around. They're really because like in the Bitcoin mining business, generally it's pretty opaque, and then a lot of people make profits you know, from asymmetrical information. So sometimes they get some good info, you know, like where the site is, like on top of a mountain, like in the middle of nowhere. And then that's a really perfect spot for Bitcoin mining. They really don't want other people to know, or like some kind of like trends, like they are aware of, like other, you know, whereas like other miners do not know yet. For like, so like, so I think one good example would be just power producers. They've been quiet. They've been a big player, I feel like, earlier than we thought, because like they just have been really quiet about it. So like back to the point about like if like the willingness of this industry sources talking to journalists, I don't think they have a motivation for me to talk with them. I think they just have to you know, think about how I can stir in their interest, how can keep the conversation more interesting for them. Like, for example, like, oh, I hear, you know, like somebody said this, I think that is really interesting. And then, have you heard about this? It's more like an information facilitator. It's like, you know, you need to trade information with the Bitcoin miners and the miners so that, you know, you can have a meaningful and productive conversation. So you can kind of like a glean insight from these miners. So that's just kind of like, you know, how I, you know, talk to them. Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense, I guess. Kind of, they need some incentive, I guess, to talk, and maybe exchanging information is a great way to do that. Wolfie, I know you're talking with miners all week long. Is that sort of the experience you've had also? And like how maybe has, because like we see more media focus on mining now than almost ever before. So clearly someone's talking to the media. And like, how has that dynamic changed in terms of who wants to talk to you and who doesn't? And how do you, you know, kind of incentivize or cajole people to open up and share stories and information with you about mining?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, Yeah, it's like a lot of the mining people over the years, like their mentality is, especially in China, it was making money quietly. Like if you can make money and make profit without making any fuss, why would you make any fuss? Well, why would you want anybody to know that you're making a lot of money? So, and the more people into the game, the less profit you're going to share part of the pie. So, I mean, it's just, they want to make the money quietly. And I think that was the case for a lot of the Chinese miners over the years. And that's something I experienced. But, you know, there are different players in the market. You know, mining pools will be relatively more open to talk to you. And you're engaged with the community, engage on Twitter. And just because, you know, they need a brand out there, right? And they're attracting customers and they want to build a business. So it's the same for hosting companies, right? They need to attract customers. And so they will be relatively more outgoing. So higher chances that you can talk to a hosting firm operator who doesn't necessarily self-mine completely, but you may not be able to find someone who actually owns the machines unless they're really like large scale. I think that has been always the case in China. So I think it was pretty smooth for me, like trying to talk to a couple, you know, mining pools. They are actually very close to the industry, like much closer than individual miners, because they have to talk to different customers all the time. So they aggregate all this stuff, and they also own their own, you know, equipment. So I think over the time, I think mining pools, hosting facility providers, they are more willing to engage, in my experience. That was the case in China. And for a large reason was because the whole area is gray. So a lot of mining companies, they don't want to talk to, don't want unnecessary attention. Because there has been, you know, some examples when some Chinese media went to a site and exposed their kind of relative location and then got some backlash from the government because they realized, you know, these bunch of people are making so much money and not even paying us a cut, not even using ungrade energy, and kind of mess things up. So people also learn to be kind of low profile. And that was the reason why this industry has been kind of pretty opaque when things were very centralized in China. I think that gradually changed in 2019 and 2020 because there was the first, like the infrastructure boom. A lot of people realized the opportunity and they started building a lot of the facilities, and then they actually have to go out and attend events. And there were more events in 2019, 2020. So people have a chance to gathering, you know, larger scale where, you know, you can go and trade information and talk to people. And also because back then, I think the Chinese government, they wanted to, especially in Sichuan, they tried to set up some state sanctioned, you know, industrial parks. So things were actually moving towards legitimacy, where you can have a facility in an industrial park using on-grid energy and paying the subsidies and taxes to the government and the state grid. So, you know, people feel that this is going pretty, pretty positive in terms of regulatory environment. And even back in April, people were very bullish on Bitcoin mining in Sichuan. I was at that event, and yeah, there was no sign of any doubt and concern. And then there was May came from. So then things changed, right? Now these, you know, even if they're mining in China, they don't want to talk about it. I mean, they have no incentive to talk to you. But now I think with things gradually shifting to the US and elsewhere in the world, I think it gets more transparent in a sense. Like I think more of the mining firms, hosting providers, they are more willing to engage. I mean, these people have faces and have companies, have websites, and they're willing to engage. Whereas back in China, you don't even know who those miners are. Like even if you know who they are, they don't have websites, don't have a company properly registered. A lot of things happen just offline. But now I think like the industry is more plugged in and engaged with, you know, different people, analysts, press, and all that. So it definitely has changed, I think.
Yeah, Wolfie, just a follow-up there. From your years of reporting on the ecosystem, have you kind of noticed that there's maybe like one or two companies or firms that kind of set the pace for interaction with media? Wondering if, like, for instance, like a Bitmain or everyone just kind of follows online with whoever's like at the head of the pack, just because the mining ecosystem is so relationship driven.
Yeah, I think, but there are a lot of companies that who despite all the tension, they never wanted. Like Bitmain has a lot of, I think, especially over the past 2 years, have had too many unwanted attention to what's happening in the company. I don't have any particular company to my mind. I think it has changed over the years. Plus, like not a lot of companies have existed since like what, 2013. A lot of the mining companies these days, they emerged after the 2017 phase. So I think, yeah, manufacturers, they're definitely always been the spotlight. And the pools, they're like F2 pool, BTC.com pooling, and they're and they have always been willing to engage whenever, you know, they could. You know, I think, like I when I talked to F2 people back in the end of 2018, I think they were pretty open to the idea, because trying to tell the kind of the English press and also people outside of China what is actually going on in the country when, you know, pretty much everybody was dumping the equipment. It was bad, but it was of the interest to tell, you know. And I think these companies have always been interacting in good faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of interesting dynamics there. I think, I don't know, there, at least companies that I've spoken with, some of them have very positive, and then others have, you know, extremely negative perceptions of media attention and who they want to interact with. I kind of want to keep that thought in mind, but also switch to something similar. And that's like, maybe why mining is so difficult to report on for people who don't have the experience both of you have and the contacts that you have, and haven't, you know, seen market cycles, ups and downs, built relationships and seen companies rise and fall, you know, all the different dynamics that miners and people who cover mining see. So I'm curious to know, like, high level, we could probably spend all day talking about this, but like, why in your mind, like, why are the top reasons or key aspects of mining that make it so difficult to report on, but not just report on, but report on like, well, like, so your audience is actually informed, they understand what they need to understand, and they aren't bombarded with a whole bunch of misrepresentations or extraneous data and opinions that don't really matter at all at the end of the day. Obviously you guys have been writing about mining for different lengths of time, but a good bit of time between the both of you. Why is mining so hard? We see so many bad headlines, a couple of which I want to get into in just a minute, but like, why is it so hard for mainstream journalists to understand and report well on mining? Wolfie, first to you, and then David, I'll hand it to you too.
I think part of the reason is probably like mining seems like, if you think about mining, it can be very simple and very straightforward business, but because of this seemingly easy way to think about like mining, because like basically you buy a machine, you plug it in, run a software, and then you get your output. But in reality, I think it's just like there are so many nuanced and complication of our operation you need to consider. So there are a lot of things that people try to simplify when covering it. And by simplifying a lot of things, you naturally will lose a lot of the nuance. Because if you need to explain the nuance, it will take a lot of writing. And do your readers actually need to know those things? It kind of they kind of do, but they may be bored about all the technical stuff. And also because it intersects with the real economy, you need to do a lot of the things that you encounter, you know, with energy, with supply chain, all that things. And it further makes things complicated. So it's not really about, I think, like this thing is so hard. It's just, it's complicated and there's no easy way to simplify a lot of nuances here. And like a simple one, if you're trying to understand the energy, like you, there are a lot of things you can't simplify just by looking at the hash rate, because you need to look at the breakdown of the market in terms of the mining equipment, different generations of equipment. Things that are 5 years old can consume energy 3 times than what was launched last year. So these things are important to highlight, but probably because these things are too technical and too little different things. So it makes it hard to make one, to simplify them in a smart way, I guess, to put it that way.
No, that's a great point. And I really liked when we started the conversation, you said like mining is probably the one part of the crypto industry that is closest to the real economy. And I think that's a great point, which to some extent might make you think like it shouldn't be the easiest to understand. And mining is like very simple. You're just buying and plugging in computers and receiving payouts. But and maybe that's why journalists make so many mistakes, because prima facie mining seems very simple, but the more you dig into it, the more complex it gets. And that's where they sort of hit complex complications and troubles. David, same question to you. Like, in your opinion, why is mining so hard to understand for journalists, given that, you know, it can be so simple in many ways, although the complexities sort of are layered underneath it. And it is, you know, probably the most, you're not dealing with bridging or staking or swapping or anything. It's like more or less a real world industry. Why is it so hard for people, for mainstream journalists to understand and fairly represent it in their reporting?
I think there are two reasons that I can think of. The first one is like, we do have an issue about data collection. So like, it's really hard to get a precise data. So without the data, actually, your stories are kind of like not on a very solid foundation, because like you're making a lot of assumptions and or like assumptions from your sources. So like, so I think that's one of the reasons, one of the two reasons I think, you know, journalists make mistakes, because sometimes we take, especially mainstream journalists, all the journalists, and like sometimes we don't take what the sources say in a grain of salt and kind of like, you know, take their assumption into our article and make it as if it is a fact. So I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, we will have, and then we've seen mistakes in the articles. I think it's because the lack of data. And also when you first get into mining, you maybe like the reliability of your sources, and like you really need to be in the industry for a while so that you can find know like, oh, who are actually reliable, or like kind of like giving you a lot of like assertive assumptions. And the second reason, I think it will be, I wouldn't say it's a willful mistake, but I would say like the novelty of the story that about like Bitcoin mining consuming a lot of energy, that kind of like attracts a lot of attention. It's kind of like a hook, you know, for like to people who know nothing about mining. So because that's a very intuitive thing to think about. But like, I think it's the novelty of the story. Because like, if we think about it, there are so many traditional industries that consume far more energy than Bitcoin mining. I think reporters focus on that, especially environment reporters. The reason why they focus on that is just like, it's a very like interesting idea, you know, like, cause like Bitcoin is like kind of like a very new emerging phenomenon. So like, I think that's the reason. And then like, based on the second reason, I think another subtext is that like, is mining Bitcoin really a waste of energy, a waste of resources? A lot of people think it is because they don't believe in intrinsic value of Bitcoin, but and also to a certain extent, like other cryptocurrencies. So they basically think or assume that Bitcoin mining is just like you are just like creating money out of thin air, like the internet money, the magic internet money. So I think it also goes back to the very foundation or fundamental understanding of cryptocurrency. Some people, they just really don't buy it, let alone Bitcoin mining. So,
yeah. Excuse me there for a second. I agree 100%. I think I agree with both of you on pretty much everything you said. I think the data is a key obstacle. And if you read a bunch of these mainstream articles on mining, they all tend to cite, you know, all the same three or four data sources on energy use or the size of mining or anything else. It's clear what they're depending on and that they're not sort of exploring mining outside of things that other mainstream journalists writing about. And the energy is a huge piece of it, the energy use. Like the narrative doesn't change at all from New York Times articles to Wall Street Journal articles to Business Insider articles. Typically speaking, it's all the same narrative and often incorrect. But on that thought, I kind of want to ask you guys, and I have a couple of my favorites, although kind of in a bad way, picked out. Like over the years you've written about mining, can you do any like particularly egregious headlines come to mind that you've seen from, I mean, maybe other crypto native publications, but more specifically like mainstream journalists who write about the, I guess what you might call the real economy for a living and then sort of divert their attention to mining momentarily, and the things they come up with, you know, just are not on point. Are there any examples of horrible headlines you've seen that just stand out in your memory as particularly bad examples of failed journalism? Wolfie, first you, and then I'll go to David.
I don't have any particular in mind. I don't think they're like, I wouldn't say like a totally failure of in terms of journalism. I think oftentimes it was, as I said, like a lack of nuance. I remember, you know, back in 2019, there was a, I think it was probably like early 2019, like the China National Development and Reformation Commission. That was a great example. They released a draft proposal about industry guide in terms of like what kind of industries they want to keep, retain, and phase out. And keep or encourage and keep and phase out. So they initially put like Bitcoin mining in the sectors that they want to phase out. And the second day was like literally every mainstream media went on a headline was saying China wants to ban Bitcoin mining. Was it 100% wrong? I don't think so, but there's a lot of nuance to it. And none of them care to explain because A, this is a draft proposal, and B, there takes a lot of things to be done in order to make it actually a ban. So, and even even for now, my Bitcoin mining is not technically banned in China, not in the same sense as ICO was banned in China. Because if you do ICO now, you're going to be subjected to, you know, criminal charges. You can prosecute it. But if you're running a Bitcoin mining, the way they will do is they will tell you to shut it down. But are you legally in trouble? Probably not. It's a different story. So there were a lot of nuance to be explained back then. No one seemed to care. And then the funny thing is, 6 months later, when they had published the actual industrial guide, they took it out, took a Bitcoin mining out. And just a few of the mainstream media actually pick up because of the reversal, as if this thing naturally never happened. So I think a lot of times it's just you know, grab the attention but not giving enough nuance to the thing. But also probably their readers don't really care.
Yeah.
In their mind, it's just, oh, China is trying to give up on mining. Yay, and that's it. Well, yeah, I don't think anything particularly mine that has totally failure.
No, that's fair. If Damien can throw up my screen here for a second, two headlines that come to mind for me whenever I think of mining journalism. Oops, wrong one first. This one: Bitcoin mining on track to consume all energy by 2020. Like we were talking about energy a minute ago. Obviously, that didn't happen as we're now more than halfway through 2021. But it just speaks to, you know, the failed data analysis that many like mining articles and mining journalism for mainstream reporters rely on. And then more recently, Greenwich got thrown under the gun for their power plant up in the Northeast, with a bunch of articles saying that this massive lake felt like a hot tub when, you know, the math doesn't even begin to add up there for how those physics are just impossible. The math doesn't work out. But it made headlines.
Oh, the hot tub. Yeah, I remember that quote. Yeah. There was a lady saying it was like she was literally in a hot tub. Yeah. That was funny.
It was funny and more than a little ridiculous. But I don't know. David, same question to you. Like any headlines that come to mind immediately as like, you know, kind of embarrassing mainstream media attempts to cover journalism and it not working out so well?
I don't think there, I mean, I at least I haven't noticed any obvious mistakes. But I would say one thing, like when I covered, back in May, China cracking down on crypto mining. I mean, it is a bearish signal for the market, but like crackdown on mining actually it doesn't affect supply that much, you know, to a very large extent. So like I think like there might be some articles drawing the conclusion that maybe, you know, like mining can somehow affect the, you know, the supply of like actual Bitcoin like in the market, so that could be leading to price changes, so which is like it does not make sense, because like it's also about mining difficulty and also, you know, even if their machines are offline, but like you can it doesn't affect the supply that much. But like I think like another example is not related to mining, but like just price movement. I think that is a very obvious a misreporting thing in the early stage of mainstream media reporting on Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency. Is like once Bitcoin dropped like 10% and like the headline made it almost like it was the end of the world. And then like actually like Bitcoin is a pretty like generally pretty volatile market. And later I think like the coverage on price has become more, you know, like in context, contextualized and also like more accurate. So that in my experience, that's my understanding.
Yeah, no, that's actually a great example. Earlier last week, we had a few traders and data scientists on talking about mining and on-chain data. And that's one example they also brought up. You know, sometimes miners do sell Bitcoins, but a lot of people like to very much exaggerate the effect that has on the market and blame a lot of downward price movements on miners selling when, you know, oftentimes the math usually doesn't even add up either. Like we have 900 Bitcoins a day right now under current circumstances. And if all of those were dumped, it wouldn't really move the market at all. Great example.
David, I want to throw it back to you. You said a second ago, just kind of talking about how like data sources are really, really tough to understand in the market. I'm wondering for those listening, might be useful for them to understand what pro journalists like yourselves use for understanding the mining market. So David, I want to start with you and then jump over to Wolfie, but what are your typical go-to sources for understanding data and maybe also some other journalists that you like to kind of keep track of?
Yeah. So I think it is always hard. I mean, like data is so like accurate data in mining is just so sparse, you know, it's so scarce. I mean, anything from like hash rate to rigs prices. I mean, you might have some data, solid data points for spot market secondhand machines, but like in terms of futures, you know, mining machines, futures contracts, the price actually like it changes for each transaction. Every single transaction, it has a different price on the futures contracts of mining machines. For me, I go to mining pools because like they are great, like they're aggregators of data. I think if you want any data that is close to, you know, to the truth, I think you will want to talk to mining pools. Like, and also like as Wolfie said, they're kind of like open to talk about it. So for data sources, I tend to go to mining pools, like, you know, like Campus Mining, and also Luxor, you know, some of the US based mining pools for data. And if there's really no data, sometimes I tend to go to people with the firsthand information, you know, people who are actually on the ground, you know, they actually process the transactions themselves, and then they have authority to, at least for their experience, they have the authority to tell you what the latest trends are, and then what are their takes on, you know, on mining machines market or, you know, hash rate. So that's kind of like my process to find data.
Yeah, Wolfie, same question to you. When you've been looking at the market for the last 3 years, maybe you can explain.
For data.
Yeah.
For the data, if there is data, it's pretty much public. So, you know, for the hash rate, you go to BTC.com because they have the real-time hash rate of different pools. They track down the real-time changes over the past 24 hours. They also track, you know, 7-day, 3-day, and 1-day average of the hash rate of the entire network. For the other, it's just if you want to the data of the profitability of a certain model, you go to F2 pool, and pooling also has data for like pretty much every model on the market. You know, you plug in the current price and your electricity rate can give you a margin of each model, pretty much of every coin, not just Bitcoin, which is very useful, I think, and underrated, I think. Not a lot of people know the importance of that. I think it's probably more important when the price was not really great, because that tells you the exact breaking even point of every model. And then, you know, for the rigs, there are a lot of different sources. Luxor has done pretty good in terms of tracking, and then they categorize into different generations of models. The ones that has, you know, below 40 watt per terahash, or the ones at 100 watt per terahash. And they got their data from, I think, if I remember correctly, they got from different channels of like group channels, chats, brokers, and websites, and all that. And, you know, Alibaba is also a good point to look at for the mining rigs, because Alibaba.com is where, you know, a lot of the wholesalers in China try to sell to overseas and also domestically, and they will list the prices. There are a lot of sales on there, and just ask them. And oftentimes they will just post the product, but it's hard to know exact numbers, because most of the models, you don't know if they're just brand new or secondhand, and if they're secondhand, what's the depreciation, how many months of warranty it has, and all that questions. But generally, it gives you a pretty good reference, and also a lot of brokers they would have the first-hand intel on the temperature of the market. You know, when the price was going up since like early this year, you will see the brokers posting bids and quotes like every day, and every day it was different. It was going up and up and up, and yeah, there's a lot of mix of online and offline sources for data.
A very journalist answer there. Appreciate it. Yeah. Last question for you too. David, or at least on my front, I guess we're coming to the top of the hour pretty shortly. But David, I've seen that you've really moved into some more Ethereum mining coverage recently, which has been excellent. And then Wolfie, of course, you've kind of touched on most things mining for the last few years. But I am wondering, from your guys' perspective, what are some areas you're looking to either grow in as a journalist on the mining front, or areas that you just haven't had like the bandwidth to cover yet that you're excited about delving into? Maybe that's like on the energy front or like the logistics side or manufacturing side. Wolfie, I'm going to throw it back to you, and then David, really keen to hear your answer.
It's interesting. I mean, I haven't really thought about it myself. But yeah, I think there's something interesting about the markets right now is that we're seeing a lot of big number of mining firms are going public. Many of them have already bound to release their, you know, their earning reports, and they need to disclose their margins and all that. I think we have 5, 6, 7 public listed mining companies, and there are a couple more that are going through listing. I think this is a good thing about like the industry utilizing the public market, because they will provide more intel into it. And you know, one way to look at it is that, you know, the market breakdown, the model breakdown of these different miners, what the kind of machines they're using, how many of them are in second generation, first generation, the latest generation, and then, you know, can gradually paint a bigger picture in terms of their energy consumption, where they are. Are they using fossil fuel, renewable, things like that? And because I think a core problem really about the energy consumption is really anybody knows like what is the current mix of the mining models in the market. Pretty much we just guess. I think, you know, for the DG Economist or Cambridge, their data is as good as they can be. And they, in fairness, explain their methodology, and you know, and for each methodology, I think the core question is we don't know the mix, and that it also relies on, you know, the manufacturers. They will never disclose how many different models they sold every year, and if they could disclose that, it would have like very interesting value. So those are questions I think, you know, the whole industry can benefit if anybody can answer that, which is always interesting. Otherwise, we're just having this conversation about energy consumption, and no one knows really how much it is. And to be honest, like even if there's data, there's assumptions. Assumption is fine. I think just when covering it, you always need to point out there's this consumption and what is the problematic point about the methodology and what is imperfect here. And otherwise, you know, we won't see the real answer to that.
Yeah, David, same question to you. Where are some areas are you looking to grow in your coverage of the mining space?
I think one interesting aspect will be regulations, because like for each state, they have different regulation on crypto mining. I think it's worth exploring, you know, like the interpretation of the regulations and where the regulations for each state are heading. I think that will be really useful for miners, like especially the popular states like Texas, New York, and you know, like Colorado and Pennsylvania. All of these energy rich states, and then like we kind of like have a general idea of like the local regulations, but like I think it's worth you know, detailing like what actually like the states are saying in terms of the regulations and how they're going to implement the regulations. I think that will be useful for miners. But like in terms of like for mainstream audience, I think Ethereum, I do feel like Ethereum is a really good topic. And then for mining, I think honestly, I just feel like there's just so so much more different dynamics within Ethereum mining, like because the mechanism, how it works, it has different parts of like revenue streams for miners, and also like it has this upgrade, and there's also the tension, and of course we have the NFT, and then NFT also affects the profitability for Ethereum miners, and GPU the supply chain side, we also have Nvidia. And then they have a kind of like ever changing policy on if they want the users of their chips to use the chips for mining. So like I just feel like there are a lot of tension and then like interesting developments in Ethereum mining, and then for miners I feel like regulation is a big part of the story in the future.
Yeah. I'm with you on Ethereum mining.
It's always interesting to see the gamers throwing a lot of hate over the Ethereum miners. There's a lot of hate.
I love it.
Just hate freaking Ethereum miners for stocking up all the GPUs. Even now they down the price now, it's still much more expensive than the initial price of GPUs.
I wonder how China's ban online gaming would affect the chips, because like that sounds like a pretty hardline policy on banning teenagers from playing video games. I don't know.
yeah, for sure. I don't know. My general opinion is mining is just going to become even more. It's going to become even larger and even more complex and interesting, and probably more difficult to cover as the years go on. And hopefully, our mainstream writers can keep up with all the different sources and data types and everything that both of you and your colleagues are looking at. We're almost at time here. And before I ask the final question, I can't thank you both enough for being on the stream. It's been super fun for me. I'll speak for Will also, and for our audience. Thank you very much. The last question I want to put to you is, for any like mainstream journalists who are looking at mining, probably seeing the articles that you both are writing and trying to figure out, what the hell is going on with Bitcoin mining. For the reporters who have written a couple stories about mining and are trying to dig deeper, and even for people who aren't journalists but are trying to understand mining in general, do you have any tips or high level like advice for them in terms of how to properly think about mining, how to properly approach mining and write about it well and understand it well and probably explain it well to other people to avoid, some of the mistakes maybe you've made early in your mining coverage careers, or definitely mistakes we've seen from other mainstream voices trying to explain and understand mining. Any advice for people trying to write about and understand mining? David, I'll hand it back to you, and then Wolfie, I'll let you close us out.
Mm-hmm. I think like I'm still learning, but like I feel like my advice would have worked for any other beat in journalism. I think first of all, like you have to jump out of your like innate bias towards the subject that you are covering, because like I do feel like sometimes mainstream media has kind of like a inherent bias towards cryptocurrency. I do feel like you need to be neutral. I think that for some reporters, that's kind of like one of the hardest things. Like when you write a story, how you can set your mindset, like how you can have a right mindset when you start writing on something that you don't know or that is relatively new to you. So that's my first piece of advice. And the second one, I think that will be I was just like talking to a lot of people, I guess, what you read online, actually it's helpful. It's helpful. Like, I mean, if you do solid research, you can get a pretty good understanding of your subject. But like, I really do feel like you need to talk to as many people as possible in the industry to hear different voices so that you can have like insight that like you can not get from simply just reading articles or data online. Yeah, so that would be my advice.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Wolfie, same question to you. Anything to add? Like what tips, advice for people trying to understand and also report on mining?
I mean, I think just I don't have any particular advice. I'm not sure if I
can't give away all your secrets.
Well, no, it's just I guess like high level, just if you try to understand a thing and try to report on that or even understand it, like just do it out of good faith. That's the basic thing. Like same idea to what David said. It's about like remain neutral and curious about what it is and try to talk to different people. And if you could just own a machine, do it yourself and you will understand it much more quickly than just researching online through Google. I think that's it. And if you really want to understand, just, you know, I think most of the crypto people, they're willing to engage, even on Twitter, even anonymous, just reach out. I think it is just like you, anything else that anybody wants to learn.
No, that's a great point. You saw in Bitcoin's early years, journalists buying small amounts to sort of try and understand how wallets and payments work. Maybe some of these mainstream media outlets should buy a couple rigs and set it up in their basement for the reporters to
why not, operate right?
Well, we're at time. David, Wolfie, thank you both so much for coming on the stream. This has been a ton of fun. For our audience, Wolfie and David are both on Twitter and both very prolific tweeters and writers. We also get occasional shit posts out of them, which are always favorites. Definitely give them a follow. And thanks for watching another Compass live stream. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're watching, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Next week with another pair of proof of work mining focused live streams. Thanks for watching, and that's a wrap.